Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this week, we're going to listen to Winter Fields, a song that most recently came out on 2012's Nebraska Catfish, but originally was on 2002's Grace LP. Also happens to be a song that I performed live on season two of the White Wall Sessions out of Sioux Falls, if you've seen that program. So we're going to listen actually first to the 2012 version from Nebraska Catfish. Then near the end of the episode, we'll take a listen to 2002's very, very different version of Winter Fields. And then I'll post a link to the White Wall Sessions video live performance on the podcast page as well. So we'll listen to 2012's Winter Fields from Nebraska Catfish and talk a little bit about it on the other side.
Winter fields, silence is the only thing that's growing. Even now when it's not snowing, there's nothing but the wind. Those seeds that we were sowing, and our bodies ache with knowing our love would never end. Where the children sleep and dream of their tomorrows. You think they know our sorrows, how hard it is sometimes to break the ground. Oh, to break the ground, yeah. Downstairs we are in our chairs. Nothing to disturb us, but the thing that makes me nervous is how hard it is sometimes to make a sound. Out here in these winter fields. fields. Out here in these winter fields, there's nothing but the wind.
Winter Fields from 2012's Nebraska Catfish. A little bit about that album. I mentioned it before in other episodes. It was an album revisiting my hometown, my growing up years in Nebraska, a little town called York, and various experiences and things that were connected with that. And the album as a whole also. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a little genre confused. I was really aiming for something that leaned heavily into jazz and some pop. And for that reason, there was a little less of the acoustic guitar, which is typical of my style. A little more piano, and also some kind of funky electric guitar here and there with the wah-wah pedal and some other things like that. So it was a whole lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it a lot. And I like a lot of what came out of that. But it was working in a kind of a different style than is typical of what I do. But the song itself, Winter Fields, was written 1990 or 91. We were living in York, Nebraska, and I was teaching at a small town close to there, Milford, teaching high school English, speech, and theater and directing. And so I was doing a lot of driving back and forth on Interstate 80. And in the wintertime, Interstate 80 is a big wide space with lots of cornfields on either side and not much else, and lots of snow and lots of silent time. And that really is the theme of this. For the remaining years, I also did graduate work at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and so that's about a 45-minute drive from York going east to Lincoln, and so spent quite a bit of time on that little stretch of Interstate 80, and a good deal of it was in the wintertime, and so that's when this song was written, somewhere in there in the early 90s. In many ways, I'm an introvert, and so silence is a friend in many ways. And I believe that in a bigger sense beyond myself. I think silence can be a friend. I think silence can also be an enemy, depending on how it's taken. I know that it takes a good long time for me to get tired of silence and solitude, but eventually I will get tired of silence and solitude, and I'll need to get some more interaction. But it does take me a good long while to get to that point, much longer than a lot of folks. But I think that's one of the themes here in this song. Is grappling with that idea of silence and solitude. You know, in the Midwest, out in the Great Plains of Nebraska and Great Plains of South Dakota and Great Plains of North Dakota and all the Great Plains states. There's a long history of people living out in some solitude. And sometimes we romanticize that, you know, a little house on the prairie sort of deal. But it was not all an easy thing. A lot of people, a lot of folks lost their minds in the solitude that they found themselves in. And so grappling with that and understanding yourself and understanding your relationship to that idea of silence and solitude is important. So it's ironic and interesting, I think. We are right now, I don't know when you're listening to this, but at the moment that I'm doing this, we are in a special time that I've never experienced in my life in our country, a time of social distancing because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so folks are having to get used to being a little more alone these days, a little more conscious of not engaging and interacting a whole lot. A lot of the big social events are being canceled, sporting events and theater productions, concerts, things like that. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe we're all through it by now. We'll see where this goes. But I think it's a time when we have to capitalize on the social engagement that is safe. I think it's responsible to do some social distancing, to not be a part of the spread of a pandemic. On the other hand, we need each other. And so there are things like podcasts, things like digital music, digital streaming of video and things like that, and social media where we can engage socially safely. And we're probably at a time in our country's history when we're more prepared to deal with this than we would have been at any other point earlier. So there's some silver lining for you. So anyway, we'll dub this our social distancing episode on Winterfield. So let's get into the song a little bit and talk about the lyrics. Out here in these winter fields, silence is the only thing that's growing. Even now, when it's not snowing, and there's nothing but the wind. So, in my work, in my graduate work at University of Nebraska, which I was driving back and forth a lot during that time, doing graduate work, I was focused on Great Plains literature, and a lot of that was. There was a piece of that was journals written by homesteaders, and this idea of silence and solitude, and the sound of nothing but wind, played a huge role in the lives of those folks, and so it was on my mind, and it was on my mind because I was living there as well, and I was spending a lot of time solo driving back and forth, and I had a lot of silent time, and so that was what was on my mind. And when you drive through those big wide open plains, you know, if you're from a city or if you're from a crowded area, I think it's a real shock to your system. I grew up in Nebraska, so it wasn't a big shock to me, but I think it's a real shock. I've talked to some people who came to visit. And they said, how do you even deal with this? Wow, it's just everything's so wide open and there's so much space and it's so empty and it's hard for the mind that is used to a lot of people and a lot of crowd and a lot of clutter and a lot of buildings. It's hard for the mind that's used to that to take in, to perceive and to process the Great Plains. Now, the indigenous people of the area did a really fine job of that. Their spirituality was built around the sun, which makes perfect sense when you're out on this great wide open plain. The sun is this warm, benevolent, life-giving entity that comes to visit and stays in the sky for a long time and then returns the next day. And so the sun played a huge role in their lives, as did the stars and the moon. The sky was half of their world. But for folks that are used to being in crowds, crowded into tall buildings, or even treed areas, or even mountainous areas where a lot of the sky is obscured, it's a real shift, a real change. So as I was writing the song, I was imagining this couple. This is not exactly autobiographical, but of course, my wife and I were living in Nebraska with our two little daughters. Depending on exactly which year this was written, one little daughter and one on the way, or two little daughters. But thinking about that ourselves, and thinking about that imagined homestead couple. We move on to the next section. And I want to know, do you remember? Weren't those seeds that we were sowing? Didn't our bodies ache with knowing that our love would never end? I think what silence brings in the negative sense, can bring, is a questioning of relationship. You know, there's this idea, as an introvert, you know, being comfortable with silence, sitting in silence with someone you care about, someone sitting in silence for an hour or two in the same, in each other's presence, but silent. And you can feel really good about that for a long time, but at some point you start to question, so what is it we are doing? How is it that we're interacting? How is it that we engage? Is it good for us to be comfortable not engaging in conversation? And the longer you go without conversation, you begin to say, is it getting too easy to just not talk? And generally speaking, in a relationship like that, there's one person who's probably more comfortable with that silence than the other. Probably in our relationship, I'm the one more comfortable with the silence. So then you also have to question, so how does she feel about this? What does she need? Should I be a little more talkative? And if so, how do I start? Where do we start? What do I say? You know, when you've gone for a long time without saying much, then you focus on, well, what should be the first words out of my mouth? It all sounds kind of strange. It all seems a little strange. So then we get into the refrain, which is just, hey, 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 which is kind of nice. In a song about silence, singing a refrain that goes, hey, 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 hey. So then we get back into the next verse. Upstairs, where the children sleep and dream of their tomorrows, do you think they know our sorrows? How hard it is sometimes to break the ground. So this one's really about the work we do. The work we do. And I guess I'm at some level I'm using the sod busters, the folks who are coming out there onto the plains to make a go of it, using them as a metaphor, and breaking the ground was the big thing that they did. They came out. They got a you know, a mule and 40 acres or whatever. And they had to make good on it. They had to break the ground. They had to make good on it for, I think, maybe 5 years or something like that. And then the land was theirs. But this was land out on the Great Plains that had never been plowed before. It had never been broken. It was virgin prairie. And the ecological disaster of the Dust Bowl was a direct result of breaking this virgin soil of as the indigenous people said, you're taking the ground and you're turning it upside down so that the bottom side is up. Why would you do that? Hasn't the universe taught you anything? That the ground has a top and it has an underneath, and you, why would you turn it over like that? But of course, that's what the European folks were used to, and so that's what they were doing. And it had its consequences: the loss of all that topsoil, the Dust Bowl, etc. But the question here is: our children dream of their tomorrows. Our children have these wonderful ideas of what they'll be and what they'll become. Do they have any understanding of how hard it is? How hard it is to make a go of it. Just to make a living, just to provide for a family. Do our children know? And at this point, maybe even should they know? Is it okay? Is it good for our children to have their lovely dreams of being a ballerina or a fireman or a NBA star or a whatever? Is that okay? Maybe we need to just let them have that, because this may be the only time in life when they'll have those dreams and they'll seem very real to them. So we have this couple sitting downstairs, knowing how hard making a go of it is. And their children are upstairs dreaming. Downstairs, we are in our chairs, with nothing to disturb us. But the thing that makes me nervous is how hard it is sometimes to make a sound. And then we go back into the hey, 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 hey. The irony, the ironic shift there. So you know, I suppose I said this is not autobiographical, but I suppose it was a vehicle for me to voice this concern. What is my voice? What is the unique thing about me? And why is it so hard sometimes to let that out, to just give voice to that, to just say something, to shout, hey, 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 to let the entire universe know, hey, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I do. And as we sit here trying to break ground in the silence, that gets harder and harder. And is it possible to lose yourself, to lose your voice in the work of breaking ground, of turning the sod, of trying to grow something? And so we get into a section that's just a repeat. Out here in these winter fields, 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 there's nothing but the wind. Hey, 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 there's nothing but the wind. So there's the song, there's the lyrics. This version, like I said, was piano-based, which was different than the original song as it was written. Also had that higher register on the piano, the kind of tinkling down. It struck me as depicting the snow the snow, both the sparkles that lay out there on those open fields with the snow on the ground, but also the sparkles coming down through the air. So many times in that drive, I saw just the miraculous sparkling of snow coming down, and silence, and that's what the whole world is. It's sparkling snow and silence. And who am I, this small person, in the midst of this? Who am I? And how do I make a sound? And what sound do I make? So some of those existential questions about identity, I suppose, are in there. And about my role in my family, but also my role in the midst of silence and solitude and my relationship to it. So what we'll do is now we'll listen to a very different version. This is the first version, the first recorded version of the song. It was in 2002 on the Grace album, and it's being performed a very different style. And this is my wife singing it, singing also all the various parts, the harmonies. So this is Winter Fields from 2002's Grace LP.
Didn't our bodies ache with knowing that our love would never end?
Fields from Grace 2002. Boy, that really takes me back. That's such a wow. I love the vocal harmonies that my wife nailed there, and just it's such an interesting and ironic approach to the song. A song about silence that's just loud and forcefully beating. That style, of course, a lot of acoustic guitar, some mandolin in there, a little bit of slide acoustic, and that's one that actually Cheryl performed a few times live here in and around Spearfish with a couple of friends who sang the harmonies when they did it live. But once again, grappling with that idea of silence and solitude, but in a forceful, loud, and pounding way, kind of, you know. The juxtaposition of those things, and I think I kind of like that. I think I like dealing with a theme in a song when the song is pushing against that theme. A loud, beating, banging song about silence. Anyway, so also season two of White Wall Sessions, which is a wonderful show that is in. It may be in season eight by now, but that's out of Sioux Falls. I was invited to be part of season two, and so I performed three songs and. More than that, but the three songs that were selected by them to be featured on the show, this was one of them, Winter Fields. And so I will post the link to that White Walls Sessions video performance, live performance of Winter Fields on the Songcast page over on Podbean. There we have it, fresh for your enjoyment during this season of social distancing. Winter Fields, song about silence and solitude. I certainly hope that whatever's going on in your life right now, that you're staying well. And that you're also staying connected, even though we may be all practicing some social distancing right now. As I said earlier, there are lots and lots of tools, more tools than we've ever had as a nation before, for connecting with people in safe ways without spreading a virus and extending the pandemic. So hope things are going well for you. As always, I appreciate you joining me on the Songcast, on Dancing Moon Songcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday. I plan to continue doing that as long as I can. This is, I think, episode 36. So if you've missed some of them, go back to the beginning. There are quite a few episodes in there to catch up on. A lot of songs. All my music. All you can find at scottsimpsonmusic.com. You can also stream it on Apple Music. Find it, buy it on iTunes, stream it from Spotify or iHeartRadio. Find my lyrics also at scottsimpsonmusic.com. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Dance and Moon Songcast, especially in this special episode that we're kind of dubbing the social distancing episode. May you stay well.